It's your host, Nanette Weiser. And in our ongoing features on incredible musicians who will be performing at the Suncoast Jazz Festival and other places, today with is the one and only Mark Fymans. Hello, Mark. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about this Tampa Bay-based trio, the three best buddies. I like to call you the three amigos.
Thank you so much. Yeah, La Lucha has been a band for coming on 16 years. We've been playing together. We all met, the three members, Alejandro Arenas on the bass, John C. O'Leary III on piano, and myself, Mark Fymans, on the drums. It's a classic piano jazz trio. We met 16 years ago at the University of South Florida, where we were all music students. We ended up in the same jazz combo together, and we just really enjoyed playing music and sharing music and going on to creating our own arrangements and original compositions together. Performing a lot of concerts and, you know, everywhere around the world. And we just enjoy hanging out, and our families are close, and it really is a family band. That's the feeling that we get from it. And we just enjoy sharing space with each other and have invited listeners over many years into our performances and into our recording sessions. And we continue to grow musically and as humans and within our community, and you can hear that throughout our records. But La Lucha is a diverse band, three different cultural backgrounds. John is from Mexico, from the Yucatan Peninsula. Alejandro is from Colombia and in South America. And myself, Mark, I am from Clearwater, Florida. So I'm the hometown boy in the band. And, you know, three different FM radios and, you know, different music cultures come together to create our sound.
Well, the musical versatility and the various influences are so clear. And we recently saw you at a Clearwater Jazz Holiday event at the Factory. You had a wonderful woman who sat in with you, and I think you might have told me that she's going to perform with you perhaps again.
Yeah.
She was singing, yes.
Yeah, this
from Nebraska? Was she from Nebraska? Did I get that right?
Yes, Allison Nash. Yeah, she's a new, what we call jazz transplant to our Tampa Bay area. She's living in St. Petersburg, a really phenomenal singer who has performed with David Foster and been on tour with a lot of like R&B and soul acts. And she's really diving into jazz and has a really incredible sound of her own. Allison Nash is her name. She was one of the many performers at that Clearwater Jazz Holiday Summer Jazz Jam, and she was also featured on La Lucha's new album called La Lucha Plays the 80s, where we took an hit 80s song from kind of throughout the decade, and she is featured on the song Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, which is we kind of transformed it into a jazz R&B soul ballad. And she's from Omaha, Nebraska, and that track also features another Omaha, Nebraska native, and that is saxophonist Jeremy Carter. And that was a little surprise that we had for the two of them. They showed up to the recording session not knowing each other would be there, and they immediately knew each other and got to celebrate kind of hometown Nebraska vibes here in St. Petersburg.
It is an incredible family and so welcoming. Now, your latest release, La Lucha Plays the 80s, when did that come out?
So it came out in, I want to say May. Time moves very funny now, but it was early summer. But this has been an ongoing project. Over the last 2 years, we've been recording live music videos where we kind of dress up in fun 80s outfits reflecting the original song. So we have a Prince song on there. We're dressed, you know, in purple and, you know, sequins. And for Madonna, we're wearing that fashion that she is featured on Like a Prayer. And we've been over 2 years now, we've been recording these slowly and did them over the pandemic safely as much as possible. And we feature a different artist and singer or musician on each track along with La Lucha, the trio. And we finally put all of those videos and the digital release out everywhere where you can find or watch music. That came out in late spring, early summer.
You know that I'm going to say that I think Radio St. Pete should have La Lucha Plays the 80s as a regular weekly radio show, right?
I mean, so the album features, I think, 9 or 10 tracks, but we have at least 25 to 30 arrangements. It's been a 10-year project because we started this in, I can't do the math, but when we turned 30, when the members of La Lucha turned 30, we celebrated all the music from 1985. So whatever that math is, because my brain is fuzzy, we love to do a series like that. We have so many of these tunes. We just need to document them. Really, this is a series one, you know, season one of La Lucha Plays the 80s. We could really dive in.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that with J. Cole, because I already said to him, I was interviewing him, and this is a perfect thing to, you know, really showcase. I mean, I did watch the videos, and they are just, they're hilarious. They're wonderful. I can just dance around my room with a cat. It works out great. So I want to talk a little bit about the backstory of La Lucha, but I also wanted to ask you, so you were from Clearwater, and yet you went to Pace in New York for school.
I actually went to, I went to Purchase College.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's all good. It's just north of Manhattan. So, yeah, so I was at USF, University of South Florida in Tampa, as an undergraduate. Mm-hmm. And I felt this urge to go to New York for many reasons. One, I was just in love with being in and near New York City, which is kind of one of the jazz hubs, and really getting to dive deep into this music. My family's also from New York, so besides my parents that live in Clearwater now, everybody was there. My sister was living there, all my cousins, my grandparents, and I never lived close to them for a really long time. So I got a chance to be there, and I also followed somebody that I was in love with. And love is a real, has a strong gravity, and that is my now wife, Gloria Munoz.
Oh, I did not know that. That is fabulous. The poet laureate.
Yes, the poet laureate of our city of St. Petersburg. I am married to her, and we have a beautiful daughter. And I followed her as we were dating. It was a long-distance relationship. And I said, I just need to be near New York. I would love to be near her. And she was going to Sarah Lawrence College. I didn't know how far Purchase was from Sarah Lawrence. I was just knew that it was in New York. And then I found out that they were 10 minutes away, and we were also 25, 30 minutes from Manhattan. And so it ended up being perfect. And it was also a conservatory where I could really just dive deep into playing music and not so much have to focus back on academics, which was not my strong suit. I just wanted to play music and be surrounded by it.
Well, you have a lot of strong suits, because I know you do a lot of the production, you do writing, and, you know, I know that you did some work with clarinetist Ken Popowski. He used to be a staple at a Jersey jazz club that we would go to when I was growing up. How did that all happen, that you connected with him, and what jazz clubs did you go to in New York? Bradley's, you know, what were some of your haunts there?
Yeah, so speaking of jazz clubs, I mean, everything, anywhere, anytime, you know. Bradley's was definitely a, like, an early hang where you would stay up very, very late. But, you know, club has now gone on. But, you know, I spent a lot of time at Smalls and Dizzy's and Mesro when that finally opened. I'd go to the Blue Note and the Jazz Standard. I spent a lot of time at Zinc Bar. There's also, like, so many pop-ups where just, like, coffee shops turn into a venue at night. And, you know, no-named warehouses are now filled with, you know, all-age musicians just wanting to jam. So I did everything. You know, the story with Ken Popowski is that I have been listening to him since I was born, really. My parents are music enthusiasts and also musicians. And so we had a lot of records in the house. And Ken was a sound that was constant throughout our house. But also, I went to a lot of shows growing up. I was really fortunate that my parents took us to jazz concerts and to, you know, the Clearwater Jazz Holiday, since I was born. I mean, the first time I ever went there was before I was one, 1985. And I would hear and see Ken Popowski. And as I grew older, I started performing with musicians, or they would come to town and they would say, hey, we need a rhythm section. And I happened to be in the rhythm section with vibraphonist Chuck Redd, who brought in Ken Popowski. And I would go over and I would talk to Ken. And if we were doing like a tour or something, I would try to hang with him at the hotel. And he soon heard about La Lucha through a phenomenal jazz pianist, legendary Dick Hyman.
Right.
And he said, you know, Dick told me that you have a band called La Lucha, and I think we should do something together. I said, we would love that.
Oh, my
God. We'd be honored. And so we found a way to do a concert where we could feature Ken. He was on it. La Lucha was the rhythm section. And then he said, if you guys ever do a record, I would love to produce it. And we received an offer from Rachel Dahmer, who is the co-founder and leader now of Arborist Records, which is a legendary jazz record label located in Clearwater. They do a lot of major records, including a ton of records from Ken Poplowski. And Rachel reached out. She came to one of our shows, and she says, I really would love to document what La Lucha is doing. And so we put together an idea for the record. The three of us met at a Panera in La Lucha, and we came up with our producers and performers on the record like that we would just love to work with. And the top name for both producer and performer was Ken Poplowski, number one. Now, this was not planned at all. We didn't tell Rachel that. We were just putting the document together. And not a week later, I got a phone call from Ken Poplowski. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. Like, maybe he has a gig. And he said, Rachel told me you're doing a record, and I want to put my name as a producer. I would love to produce this record. And I just said, you're on. Let's do it. Like this is amazing. And he was able to put together a cast of incredible guest musicians. He helped organize the studio. He did everything. All we had to do was perform. And he was very gracious for performing on the record as well. And we created a deeper friendship and relationship, you know, professionally as well, that truly we hold dear to our hearts. And Ken has become like a big brother to us, a fun uncle.
Family, a new family member. Yeah. And that album featured Melissa Aldana, Houston Preston, yeah, Diego Figueredo, and Chuck Redd. I mean, you know, that's 2020. Since then, you've performed at the Olympia Jazz Festival, Jazz Awan, Clearwater Jazz, St. Petersburg Jazz Festival, Sarasota Jazz Festival, New Smyrna Beach Jazz Fest. I can go on and on, yeah, all over the world. I take it Newport Jazz Festival is on your list at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They're really wonderful at been opening up the jazz umbrella, and they're featuring everything under this umbrella and quietly above. And yeah, we would welcome any invitation to perform anywhere. I think there's something that's said about three people that create something that's bigger than themselves and that are advocates for their culture and for the music that they play, and also just supporting their, you know, community. It's such a really small community out there in the world. Like, you could be in Italy and run across somebody who loves jazz, and you end up knowing the same people, you know, whether they're a musician performing or they're a listener, and you realize, like, wow, oh, they were in, you know, Delaware, and they saw Diego Figueredo, and he's also a friend of ours that we perform with. It's a very small knit community, and this has happened where you just have conversations. Like, in, you know, our community in St. Pete as jazz is the same as it is throughout the world.
So do you say, so I've been here off and on since 1999, out of San Diego, wrote about jazz for many years with Dexter Gordon and a number of people writing about them. This town has grown for jazz, hasn't it? And you were actually president at one point of the Al Downing Jazz Association. Tell us your take on how this city has embraced jazz and your role with Al Downing.
Absolutely. So I grew up in, like, the regular Pinellas County school system playing music, and they had jazz in jazz musicians that would come into our classroom and perform for us. And one of those happened when I was in high school. I was at the Pinellas County Center for the Arts, PCC, at Gibbs High School. Mm-hmm. And a musician from the Al Downing Jazz Association came and spoke to us. And they said, we have a scholarship program to graduating seniors who would like to continue in music. And so I applied, and I was in the competition, and I received the scholarship award from Al Downing. And it really helped me continue music. It supported me and, you know, helping me with my books and instruments and food for college, really. And it made me feel really excited about continuing music. And when I was at USF, I joined as a volunteer for Al Downing. I joined as a member, and I would just help with their education programs. I felt like I needed to give back to this organization. It's a really wonderful nonprofit. And I just stayed on board for, you know, over a decade, for about 15 years, where I was education chair. And then I started working on the concert committee. At one point, I was like the secretary writing notes, and I got to meet musicians. And what I will say is, it was, I forfeited all money that I received from, you know, for any gigs, because I used to be hired by them to play concerts. I never took a dime just to be able to support the concerts and hire musicians and get better pay for musicians. And I wrote grants for them, and I worked with the team there, you know, finding money to be able to pay musicians. We started the Jazz in the Schools program, where we were taking musicians who it's their day job to just perform at night. Now we were sending them into schools and getting them level two access to go work with musicians and supporting not only what jazz is in the world, but what it is in this community. And that is passing forward the gift that Al Downing, who was an incredible jazz pianist educator, left for us here in the Tampa Bay area, which was educating jazz and the history of jazz and the history of music in St. Pete, which is, this was a circuit for musicians who traveled to Florida. The Tampa Bay area, specifically St. Pete, was a place where they stopped and they went and they performed at places like the Manhattan Casino or the Coliseum or pre-Palladium days. There were these places where mainly Black musicians would go and perform for dances and concerts. And that tradition has continued to all cultures and a completely diverse community, playing music, supporting music, and having venues, you know, that are not specifically related to jazz, but support all kinds of music. And
including free fall. So Radio St. Pete listeners,
yeah.
I am here with Mark. He is one of La Lucha's. He is just so much more than just a musician with La Lucha. He does, he teaches music. He's a sound engineer. He works with nonprofits. He does the sales, the licensing, the booking and management. Mark Fineman is truly a huge, huge part of our jazz community. So let me ask you a couple of things. Interesting enough, you know, Alvinette, who is currently president of Al Downing, mm-hmm. has her Sounds of Healing. And of course, we heard about Fred Johnson and how Al Downing was supportive of him. And then we just featured Jean Pierce, and she was among the people you worked with. Let's move over to how you and the Clearwater Jazz Holiday got all hooked up. And this year you're not performing there, but you have performed there a number of times, correct?
I performed there a number of times with a number of groups over the years. But I'll say this year didn't work out because I'm performing at a festival in Delaware with Diego Figueredo on the exact date on the same weekend. So the schedules didn't work, but I was a longtime, you know, attendee, and I just said to my dad one day, I'm going to be up there and performing. I have to do it. Like, I remember seeing Herbie Hancock there when I was little, and I didn't know that he was, like, the most famous jazz musician in the world. I thought he just lived in Tampa. Like, I didn't know there were famous jazz musicians. So I hopped over the fence, and I went right up to Herbie, and I said, hi, my name is Mark. I play the drums. And he was, like, taken back, and then the security guards came in, and I realized, like, wow, I think there's a difference between him and, you know, all the other musicians I hang out with. It's still very nice. And yeah, my first time I ever played there was with a Brazilian band called O Som do Jazz, who's led by David Manson and his wife Andrea. And my band La Lucha had applied to perform at the festival many times, and they did call and they said, hey, we like what you're doing. Can you perform? And then from there, I think they realized that we were like very involved in the community, and they asked us as a band to put together what's called the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Collective, which was a conglomeration, I don't know if that's the right word, but a really wonderful group of like 12 to 15 musicians that support and present and represent musicians from the Tampa Bay area supporting jazz and really everything under the jazz umbrella. We had musicians like Fred Johnson, you mentioned. We had Belinda Womack and Theo Valentin and David Pate. just to name a few. We were also featuring some new transplants like Jane Suggs and Jeremy Carter and Michiko and Marty Morrell, both from Japan and
music royalty. Music royalty,
yeah,
in this town, right?
Yeah. So then they, when COVID hit, they, you know, the festival basically shut down. But what they did was so brilliant. They went into the community. They found places where they could set up on the beach or on the rooftop of a hotel and spread people out into smaller events. And we began helping curate and direct some of these events.
Is that EVs over in Clearwater now?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, those different things that they were doing. Like, they were hitting different venues and going into spots or creating venues, which is my favorite thing that you can do, which is make a spot that's not necessarily a venue. And they, you know, and then they have the Clearwater Summer Jazz Jam, which features musicians from the area bringing people together for a free event we just did. And we just had their annual, you know, benefit, which is their largest concert series. And we did something called Jazz in the World. And I was the musical director on this. La Lucha was the house band. And we brought in musicians from quite literally all over the world, featuring many different countries and cultures. And we got onto one stage. This was featuring Tito Puente Jr. and Jose Valentino. We had a couple of Brazilian groups, Diego Figueiredo and Ella and the Bossa B, who are now based out of Orlando. It was a really monumental evening where we just, and then musicians who were there just got up and jammed at the end. We did like a 20-minute version of Oye Como Va with Tito Puente. And
oh,
so Clearwater Jazz Holiday supported all of this because they are raising money not only for the festival, but for their scholarships. And they're doing a music program during, you know, pandemic. They hired musicians to do online courses. I was at home putting together slideshow presentations, and I'm presenting this to kids and adults from my computer to your home who wanted to learn about jazz and the history of jazz. I did like the history of jazz drummers, and I know Alejandro and Jonathan La Lucha also did classes on their instruments. We did a class together on how to make an album. So they were really supportive of helping musicians through a hard time. And so if you're not a listener and you haven't been to the festival or one of their concerts, you know, as musicians, they're also supporting us, you know, off the stage, which I think is, you know, really telling for a nonprofit.
It really is. But, you know, Steve and Gary and Deb and all the volunteers, I mean, you know, like Radio St. Pete, Al Downing is all volunteers, CGH is all Clearwater Jazz Holiday, all volunteers. And let's move on to the lovely Joan Dragon and Suncoast Jazz Festival on Sand Key. That's November 22nd through 24th. And by the way, listeners, Clearwater Jazz Holiday, the 17th through the 20th, just amazing, amazing time. So finally, in the great triumvirate of incredible events, we're at Suncoast Jazz Festival, and you're performing a couple times. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So if you don't know about this festival, it takes place in mid to late November every year. It's on Sand Key. It usually straddles two different hotels that you walk across the street from. This year, I think they're just using one hotel room possible. And it's
Sheraton Sand Key, I think, is what it is.
Sheraton Sand Key. And every room is filled, from the restaurants to the ballrooms to whatever, just like literally like hotel rooms with music.
Pool, everything.
Yes, the pool, everything. So you have different jazz groups like La Lucha, and you have, you know, Diego Figueiredo and Ken Popowski is going to be there, and Adrian Cunningham's band is there. And then you have these groups that they put together where it'll be like Diego, you know, Houston person, Ken Popowski, and La Lucha. Or
kind of like musical chairs, right?
It is. It is musical chairs. And, you know, what's happening is like true jazz jams are happening. Like, you're just calling tunes on stages, or you have a theme, which is like, you know, the Starry Night, and then you pick songs based on that, and you're seeing musicians truly for who they are, which is in a relaxed environment, having fun with real listening fans who are choosing to spend a weekend and, like, hanging out with these musicians. There's no backstage. There's no, like, VIP only get to meet. It's like you're hanging out. You walk off the stage, you're seeing Nate Najjar change his socks in the hallway. Like, it's really, that's the vibe of this festival.
Absolutely.
I love it because we're right there. It's intimate. And we just
Radio St. Pete will be there this year. We are looking for approvals from each of the musicians. We hope that you will give us approval. We're hoping stream that. And I want you to mention Adrian Cunningham, who, believe me, I think I bought every CD that was for sale last year. And I was live there reporting as well. But you actually, Adrian, performed an original holiday song, music written by you and your beautiful poet wife, Gloria. Tell us about that. Let's talk about Adrian and you.
Yeah, so I know Adrian from the jazz community. We've performed together in a bunch of different concerts and traveled a bunch. And we have, during pandemic, we were all locked up in our own houses. We were texting back and forth on a WhatsApp thread. And I just said, Gloria actually came up with the idea, hey, what if we did a holiday record? This year feels a little different. You know, we've lost a lot of loved ones. We're all in our spaces. Nobody's traveling. What if we did a holiday album that featured original holiday songs that spoke to what is happening right now, which is it's kind of a dark moment, but we can find the light in these dark moments. And we were talking with Adrian and said, hey, man, would you check out these songs? Would you be interested in singing some of these? And he loved the idea. We pitched it to Rachel Domber at Arborist Records, and she helped put together this record. And it was incredibly difficult to put together during a pandemic, but we did it. He was in Spain the whole time, so we sent equipment there, and we chatted on Zoom every day. And it's 10 original holiday and winter classic songs. Well,
it's magnificent. Magnificent.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. And we had a string section from the Florida Orchestra that we put into a studio for a day. We hired a day where the percussionists came in, and a day with just, like, everybody was recorded separately in different studios. We had singers in LA, and we had musicians in Brazil, and we had musicians in Montana who we sent equipment to. We figured out how to do this, and we just made a record digitally and passing it from one person to another. And I'm so happy and proud of this record. It's called New Holiday Classics and 10 original new holiday and winter songs that Gloria and I wrote together.
So I want to just kind of wrap that. People who want to hear more of this can hear you in a number of places. And I'm just let me know if I've forgotten anything. Tuesday, September 10th at the James Museum, 5:30 to 7:30. The Tuesday series is something that will make you go howdy, howdy, howdy. And La Lucha will be there. Sunday, November 10th at the Peace Memorial Concert Series, 3 o'clock. Where is that located?
That is located on Fort Harrison Drive, right in downtown Clearwater. It's the Peace Memorial Church.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. And Saturday, November 16th at the Independent Bar in Tampa at 8 o'clock. And, well, you just better book tickets for the whole weekend, November 22nd through the 24th, Suncoast Jazz Festival in San Key, Daniela Soledade, Annette Najjar, La Lucha, everybody who's anybody is there. And finally, to kick off the holiday season, December 1st, South Beach Promenade Concert Series in Miami Beach. Other places going abroad? I know you're going to Delaware. In October, I know you performed internationally. Any other things that I've missed that you want to share with our audience?
I personally will be in Europe and South America in December, but I can't announce dates right now. I can't do that right now, but
you'll let us know. You'll let the Radio City listeners know.
I want to give one more pitch is that La Lucha, these are all La Lucha dates, and we perform every Monday and Tuesday evening at Eddie V's in Tampa, which is right across from the International Plaza.
Ooh, my favorite place.
Yeah, they have a beautiful lounge with a full grand piano and a full sound system and lights. It's like a small jazz club. It's really just like feels like one of these hidden gems. They have live music 7 nights a week. La Lucha is there with rotating singers, a different singer every single Monday and Tuesday. So you're going to hear Ryan Hughes, Allison Nash, Songbird Shella. You might hear Scotty Wright one night. You're going to hear different musicians every single night. Guyana, who's another one who's performing with us there. And that's 7 to 10, and it's free, and it's in the lounge, and it's a hang. You're actually going to hear, like, stuff La Lucha has not released at this gig because it's a good opportunity for us to, like, play it, you know, weekly.
And it's a great place for martinis. And if you're single and you're looking to meet and greet, is the place to be. So if you want to get more information, you could look at the website www.lalucha.com. Please follow everybody on social, Facebook, Instagram. Mark, parting words from you and La Lucha as we go into the fall.
Yeah, you know, every time the season is changing, it just reminds us that we're so fortunate and lucky to get to see faces of our friends and family and fans at these shows. And please say hi. Please come out and support musicians. If you can't make it to our show, make it to somebody else's show. And if you can't make it to a show, buy an album. And remember that the season of change, we're all changing. So let's be good to each other. Let's be nice and help and lift each other up.
Thank you, Mark Feynman from La Lucha. I am Nanette Weiser, RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM. We thank you so much for tuning in.